All righty, hour number three of our radio program. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. So we're looking at five other stories for the Super Bowl. And they cannot be Mahomes legacy talk. And they also can't be about the Chiefs three-peating. So, like, yes, there's going to be some, if the Chiefs win, what this means for somebody else. But just the generic storyline of the Chiefs three-peating to be the first team in the history of the NFL to win three Super Bowls in a row. And then the Mahomes legacy, what this does for him, those are going to be off the table. What I'm going to throw out there is more of like a TMZ, all right, Entertainment Tonight kind of headline. But if this happens, I think it'd be the biggest story in the Super Bowl. Because here's the beauty of the Super Bowl. Everyone watches. And if you could find something that's more in the entertainment world, people that aren't football fans also react to it. And you get big reactions from everyone, even outside of the, you know, even though people are inside the football world, gonna look for more of the football storylines, but it can relate to everybody else. So here's the storyline, obviously, that I'm going through. And we actually took a sign last year to Radio Row. Will they ever get engaged? And it was Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift. Now, I think I was the first member of the national media when I said this, when the relationship came out. I remember we debated this, where I said, I believe this relationship is going all the way, and I'm not talking about just the bam chicka wham wham time in the bedroom. I'm talking about that I believe Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift are going to get engaged. Now, I never thought for a second last year that it would happen after the game. Like, Taylor would be running on the field. Oh, here's my knight in shining armor. Here's Travi. And jumps into Travi's arms. And then he drops down on one knee and goes all Ian Johnson, Boise State style, and goes, Taylor, will you marry me? I never thought that was going to happen. But now you're a year, an additional year into this relationship. She's the arguably one of the biggest stars on the planet. He's one of the greatest NFL players that we've seen, right, in the last decade or so. And that couple has now felt more normal, where it's still a big deal when she walks in. And, right, it's still a big deal when she showed on TV. And I'm sure you may have some curmudgeon who's watching. He's like, just give me my football. I just want to watch my football. I don't need to see her on my screen. Right? But it just feels normal because we've seen so much of it. And so much of it has kind of just, you know, the storyline of Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce has just been shoved down your throat. So when you look at Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift, I think that's the storyline. If they win after the game, does Travis Kelce propose to Taylor Swift? Now, I'm still going to say no. But I'll just throw this out there to Samter, right, who is married, and Stu, who is in a relationship. Would you ever propose, Samter, did you ever consider proposing to your wife at a sporting event?
No, never, not even close.
Now, is your wife a big sports gal?
No, she can't stand it. That would definitely never work. There was a girl that I dated years ago, back in Arizona.
Oh, wow. She, so like 20 years ago in the Samter archive.
Yeah, after she and I broke up, she ended up getting together with a guy. What?
She's still on your mind?
No, so she ended up getting together with the guy. We stay kind of friendly, but she got together with this guy. They got engaged. She proposed to him.
Wait, what?
At a Cubs game.
Wait.
She proposed to him at a Cubs game.
Take a 30-second timeout. So, number one, let me just make sure I'm hearing this right. They got engaged at a sporting event, right? Cubs game. Go, Cubs, go. Go, Cubs, go. Hey, Chicago, what do you say? You're going to get proposed today. Go, Cubs, go. So you're telling me that happened. But come again here. She proposed to him.
That is correct. They were both diehard Cubs fans, born and raised in Chicago. And when she told me what she did, I said,
can I give you my analysis on this one?
I would have broken up with you on the spot.
Can I give my analysis on this one?
Yeah.
I think she was so heartbroken over you getting away that she goes, I'm not letting this other guy get away, so I'm proposing to him.
She probably was hoping that he would break up with her so she and I could get back together.
Did he say yes?
Yeah. And they got married. Like, that's got to be embarrassing for the guy, right?
Well,
in front
of
30,000 people.
If it happens in the confines of your home,
that's still embarrassing.
But hold on. If she got down on one knee in the confines of their own home in a private moment, all right, there's a spin, there's a story, you come up with something. I'm not saying that that's how I would envision it happening. But for that to happen at a public setting, at a sports game, where let's just be real, the fans are a little liquored up, and I think most people are going to see, they're going to go, that doesn't look right, and then you have some boos, and then you're going to say, yeah, that's not what the heck's going on over there. Yeah, that's, if I was the guy, man, so she had the ring, right?
I don't remember if she had the ring. I don't remember if she, like, got down on a knee or anything. I don't know exactly how. I just know that she did it on the big board at the game.
Oh,
the whole spiel.
It was on the big board, too?
Oh, yeah, the whole spiel.
Oh, God.
At the game, on the board.
We've seen so many fake proposals at games now. If I was at the game and I saw that,
you would have thought it was fake.
Yeah, just with the girl proposing to a guy. You know, I people would be like, oh, you're sexist, blah, blah. No. It's just, that's how you, like, you're raised, all right? The guy gets down on one knee, will you marry me? I've never met someone that is a guy that got proposed to by their wife. But, like, if I was in that spot, and I guess if you really love the person, you're not going to say no, but don't you say yes in the moment, and then it's like, all right, a month later, we got to do this for real, hon. We got to do this for real, babe.
I'm telling you, I'd probably break up with her on the spot. I'm like, you are doing this in front of 40,000 people. This is the most emasculating thing that you could ever possibly do.
Now, here's the good thing for him. See, Samter was born during the Stone Age. So there was no cameras really around then to capture it. If that happened today, that'd be like the lead story on TMZ.
Yep.
That'd be all over the place.
We'd lead the show with it. Forget the Super Bowl.
Yeah, 100%.
Could you imagine Taylor proposing to Travis on the field after they win the Super Bowl? Forget about him proposing to her. Taylor proposes to Travis.
And you know
what? She gets down on the knee. She says, Trav, I want you forever.
Can we be real? She has the power in that relationship. She does. Now, just because you have the power in the relationship doesn't mean you're the one doing the proposing. But she would see, she's such a big star. I think she would have to get a heads up. Because, Stu, let's go to our resident Swifty.
Oh, hi.
She obviously lives a very public life. But with that being said, she is very private, if that makes sense. Like, she lives a public life, and I understand all of her songs, right? A lot of them are about the breakups.
Yeah, they're not very private, but in terms of just living in the moment, it's very private.
But in terms of seeing them together,
yeah,
right? You see them at the game together. You see, like, the media that stands outside, the paparazzi outside of her New York City estate, right, when they're walking in. But, like, you'll see, like, some pictures here of them at a restaurant. But you don't see many photos of them together that aren't either them walking into her home or her walking into one of his games or him going to one of her concerts.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yep.
I would think that moment would have to be, if it's happening publicly, not that anyone wants to get the surprise ruined, she is that big of a star that I think that Travis has to at least run it past, maybe not her,
yeah,
but a family, someone has to approve that, like her assistant, or they have
his
to approve
have
that
to
it's
going to
be
people.
Fine. And like, she has to run it, get it run past by, you know, hey, I'm the publicist for Taylor Swift. Hey, Taylor, just wondering. It's just the two of us talking. You know, if Travi proposed to you at the stadium, you know, after the game, how would you react to that? You know, everyone's talking. How would you react to that? And if she was like, no, then the assistant has to get on the phone. Hey, Travis, you're not going to do this under any circumstance. We'll tackle you on the field after winning the Super Bowl if you get down on one knee and try to propose to her. So, Stu, would you ever propose to your girlfriend? Like, you and your girlfriend go to a lot of sporting events.
We
together.
Do, yes.
Devils games, right?
Devils games, baseball games, Mets, Yankees. Yes, we go to a lot of sporting events, and she loves sports. I would not do that.
How unromantic would that be? Would you get engaged? At the Devils game.
Oh, come on.
I got engaged at the Prudential Center for the Devils game.
If you had to propose, if it had to come down to doing it at a sporting event, what sport and what team? I feel like a football game.
No. Football would be the last place.
Yeah.
Do you know how many animals go? I'm an animal that goes to football games. Do you know how many animals go to football games?
Like, well, that's in Philly.
No, anywhere. Everyone gets plastered. just pick it on the Philly fans, low-hanging fruit. Everyone gets plastered at every football game, and every crowd has their dopes. Every single crowd at the NFL. Oh, jeez.
Think baseball.
You know what? I would actually... Nah. What are you going to get down on one knee when there's like peanuts and Cracker Jacks and like beer all on the floor?
Yeah, but like
I would
nice
say it's the
day.
NBA. I would say it's the NBA.
Okay.
So NHL, I say this as a huge NHL fan. It's a little bit of a different crowd, a little bit of like a crazier crowd. NBA, it's more like a lively atmosphere. There's all this like in stadium production, the sound, the music during the game. I think it would be the NBA. And also, out of all the four major sports, because they don't give a rat's ass about their regular season, it's probably the least public out of the four major sports in terms of their regular season. Like, you know, not every NBA game is a sellout in the regular season. Or, you know, I would do it on a load management night. You know, oh, Embiid's out. Oh, like 10,000 people aren't going to show up. And then you end up doing it on one of the least attended nights. Whenever I get engaged, I would never do it in a sporting event environment, even like a public setting. Like, I just think it's just, there's a lot of pressure on you, even though you know what's happening in the moment. I just think in a public setting like that, like, how did you get engaged?
We went to Israel, and we went to the top of a mountain at sunset overlooking Lake Tiberias.
So an intimate kind of private-ish moment.
And it was actually kind of cool. There was, like, you know, a few people up in the area.
Yeah.
But they were all, like, kind of playing music. And so randomly there's, like, this soundtrack to the proposal, which was very cool. But that's the question I was going to ask you. Would you do it in a more intimate setting, just you and her, or maybe a couple other random people around? Or would you want to have... I've seen a lot where
maybe
like
the most
family members
place.
Are around.
Yeah, sure, afterwards.
And friends. No, afterwards or during?
Afterwards.
Okay.
I would say the most public place I'd probably do it would be a restaurant. You know, like propose in a restaurant, maybe the most public.
Like Harry's? Piero's?
Giving all my spots away here. Hey, Sully, I need the back room in Piero's. I need a private room in Piero's.
Hey, honey, you like veal parmesan? I know a great spot.
Yeah. That was, I didn't expect it to take 13 minutes, but the whole Kelce proposal, I think. Also, is Brandon Graham going to play? I think he is. The Andy Reid and Steve Spagnuolo legacy if they add another ring. Jalen Hurts finally getting his respect. And what has Saquon Barkley done for the running back position? If he wins, and let's say wins a Super Bowl MVP, does Saquon Barkley single-handedly save the running back position? So, Stu, you're probably tired of getting asked about engagements, right? Like, you've been with your girlfriend for how long?
It's like 3+ years at this point.
Yeah, so you're in that stage where everyone's like, hey, Stu, when is this going to happen? You know, not to do this publicly to you on the air, but my sister, I'll say this all the time. My sister, she dated my brother-in-law for 10 years. 10 years. And my great aunt, so my grandma's sister, we're all taking a family picture. I think it's like year 9. And like when you're with someone's family for like 9 years, like not that, like I didn't know my brother-in-law probably for the first like 2 years or so. Like maybe like a year because my sister was in college when they first started dating. So when you're in one of those settings of like when someone's a part of your family but they're not like engaged yet, there's jokes, right? Like Stu, I'm sure that
there's jokes, yeah.
There's a lot of jokes. You don't expect the jokes though to come from, I won't say her age, but from my grandmother's sister, right? So do the math there.
Yeah.
One of the older people in the room.
Sure.
So we're all taking a family picture. It's like 15 of us. And right as we're about to do the picture, my Aunt Virginia goes, hey, JD, on the corner, just in case if we have to cut you out. Like, what a savage, badass line from my great Aunt Virginia, who just put him on the corner just in case. And then when they finally did get engaged and we took a family picture, he stood in like the middle with the arms crossed.
Great.
And he's like, oh, we could still cut you out. You never know. But no, I'm just kidding. But it's just, you know, there's always those moments there. But the whole Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce, That's got to be close, right? What's the theory here in the Swiftie world?
I would say within the next year.
Within the next year. Yeah. But you don't think it's happening during the Super Bowl?
Could. It could. I wouldn't
think
say
when you're
zero.
That rich, I don't think they would do it in a public setting.
I agree.
Especially, like, it's not that she's just a star. She's a mega, 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 mega star. I think it would be like a private kind of island where then we'll get photos of like, oh, Travis and Taylor finally, got engaged.
Now, you're probably right, but like she's, if not the biggest star in the world right now, one of the top five, right?
Yeah.
What would be more epic, historic, memorable to have one of the biggest, if not the biggest star in the world, get engaged on the field when your fiance, boyfriend wins his third straight Super Bowl for the first time in NFL history? Like, you talk about memorable. You talk like anyone can go to a private island and go on a beach and have a photographer this is a once in a lifetime opportunity. This is the perfect way to do it.
Can I just be honest with you? You know that that's like a fairy tale. Like, if you, whatever athlete gets engaged after a game, this could be a take. They have a great, like, to that stardom level, not of who they're dating. I'm talking of, like, Travis Kelce, he's not the best tight end of all time. He's one of the best tight ends of all time. Has there ever been a player like that? I'm just asking. You always hear, like, oh, it's like the 23-year-old second-string quarterback, cornerback, got engaged to his girlfriend after the game.
Ian Johnson, Boise State.
Yeah, that's like the most memorable one, I think. So I don't think I what I'm saying to you is I think you're living in fantasy land. You're living in let's create a movie.
But it's a movie ending or a movie beginning. It's something that can never be recreated ever again for two of the biggest stars in the world.
All right, so let's do this. I'm taking a look here at some of the potential guests that we have on coming up next week. Oh, man, I am living on the edge here. My computer is at 1%. So let me go to my phone here because I know I'm going to start doing this and then the computer's going to die and then I'm just going to be annoyed. So you get, I'm going to let you be, I'm going to have you both give a vote here. I'm going to ask someone on Radio Row next week to seriously break down the possibility of Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift getting engaged and if men should propose to women at sporting events. You tell me, out of some of the guests that we'll have coming on next week, who I should ask that question to. Gerald McCoy, Thomas Dimitroff, Ryan Leaf, Solomon Wilcots, Paige Speranik. I'm going to be a bad one.
Yeah, Paige.
Yeah.
Dominic Easley, Tom Pelissero, Ron Rivera, Fred Warner, Miles Garrett, Micah Parsons, Logan Ryan, Demario Davis, Joe Montana, Emmett Smith, DeMar Hamlin, Bijan Robinson, Drew Brees, Ricky Williams, Dan Marino, Jameis Winston, and that's
Drake May,
Keegan-Michael Key, like just some of the people that are scheduled to join us next week.
Definitely to Paige.
You gotta.
Gotta ask Paige.
You gotta.
And I feel like you have to ask Drake May. I don't know what his situation is currently.
I think he just got engaged, like literally 2 weeks ago, because a talk show host in Boston, Michael Felker, who's been doing this for a long time, he said, isn't it pretty lame that the quarterback is on vacation and he's not at the coach's introductory press conference? Aww. And the next day the photos come out that he got engaged. So I would say definitely Paige. And you know what? I think it's Jameis.
I was going to say Jameis. He'll say something
great.
He'll
have something very funny to say.
So to Paige Speranik and then also to Jameis Winston.
What about Micah? Micah doesn't really shy away from saying things.
Yeah, I don't know, man. So my one experience interviewing Micah Parsons, I'm going to be honest. The first 2-3 minutes of the conversation, I'm like, oh, this could be a bad interview. I go, he doesn't like anything I'm asking. And then once we talked about TJ Watt, it's almost like he knew. Let me just get to the TJ Watt stuff, and then I'm going to sound off. I think he could either just shoot it down right away, or he'll give you a great answer. It's really going to be hit or miss. Paige Speranik has to have a great answer. And I think that just how good of a speaker Jameis Winston is, he'll either just stumble through it or he'll give you like the greatest quote of all time with this. So I think those are the two that we end up asking. Make sure you remind me next week, Santa, because sometimes I have these great ideas and then I leave the show and I have a weekend and I come back Monday and I go, what was that thing that I said I was going to do?
By the way, Zach, just so you don't forget, please ask Paige Speronic about these things that we were just talking about with proposals.
Send me a voice note and a memo on Monday, please. All righty, Zach Gelb Show, Infinity Sports Network. All righty, this is Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network, 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. So we were talking about some engagement stories and also the possibility of Travis Kelce or maybe even Taylor Swift, one of them proposing to the other on the field after the big game. And Anthony of Myrtle Beach has something about engagement. 855-212-4227. Ant, appreciate the time. How you been?
I'm doing good, brother. How are you?
Doing fantastic. What do you got cooking for us?
Well, I got 2 points here. I respect the long-term engagement. I got with my girl 2007, engaged in 2008. Been together 19 years, been married for two.
Wait. So you proposed after a year, is that right?
Yeah, I mean, we were high school friends. We
gotcha.
We're good friends. We knew each other, yada yada. We started dating after a year. I proposed, but she was like, you know, if we make it 5 years, we'll get married. 5 years came, 7 years, we make it, we'll get married. 10 years, 12 years, 15 years. Finally, after 17, I said, what's the deal here? I'm sitting here wasting my time.
You know what? I've never thought about it that way, because I was talking about it when someone waits a long time to actually just get engaged. But I've never heard of the engagement, right, within a year, and then, 17 years later, actually tying the knot?
I mean, she ain't getting rid of me. And the second thing was...
I think that's clear now.
And the second thing was, when you were talking about stadiums and engagements, I went to a City Field once, and my buddy somehow got his wife's name up there that said, like, happy birthday, Jen, during, like, the seventh inning stretch.
Yeah.
She was so embarrassed, and he thought he was the best boyfriend, husband ever. We clowned him all day because she was so embarrassed about
it. And that's just for a birthday. Imagine if it said, hey, Jen, will you marry me? And he got down on one knee as some guy is eating a hot dog and some drunk is basically opening up his peanuts and Cracker Jacks.
We had a guy behind us laughing. Who the F is Jen? Screw her. We were dying, making fun of him the whole game.
It's amazing. Anyway, Anthony, appreciate it.
Brother.
Thanks so much. It's a good phone call right there. That's interesting. You know, not to dissect the guy's entire relationship, but, Samter, could you imagine, right, you get engaged to your wife after a year, and then 17 years later, you get married. You would think, right, usually within a year, year and a half, 2 years after the engagement, you end up getting married. Wait, in 17 years, you know how many awkward questions that couple, or just, like, annoying, like, parents and family members, when is it going to happen? When is it going to, that just make comments, and then when you give them a response, they're going to be like, oh, no, I was just inquiring. I'm not serious about it. You know how many obnoxious comments they probably have to deal with?
It feels like a bad romantic comedy movie.
Yeah.
Or a good one, an interesting one. But to wait 17 years, like that, it's like that movie Failure to Launch or something.
Yeah, it does seem like a movie. Alrighty, I want to play two audio clips here, and then we'll get the update in. So John Calipari tomorrow is returning back to Rupp Arena. As you're right, he was the longtime coach of the Kentucky Wildcats, brought a bevy of stars to Kentucky, won one championship. With that being said, though, the Cal era, it was good. It was very good. But it's almost like kind of Aaron Rodgers, where it's, yeah, you had a lot of greatness, but we thought you would have won more. So the ending of John Calipari at Kentucky, I'm surprised this is even a conversation, because the majority of Kentucky fans, after they lost to Oakland last year, they wanted him out, right? They're like, it's time for Cal to leave. And it seemed like Cal was coming back, but then Cal, right, with the Tyson family and all that, ended up becoming the next head basketball coach at Arkansas. I get it. It's inside the SEC. But before Cal went from Kentucky to Arkansas, did we ever view Kentucky and Arkansas as this big bad rivalry in the basketball world, right? And it's not like Cal left Kentucky to go coach Louisville, for crying out loud. So this idea that Calipari is going to get booed tomorrow when he makes his return to Rupp Arena, I just don't get, because Kentucky fans wanted him out. They all realized he brought a bunch of stars to Kentucky. He won a championship. So you can't talk about him in that much of a negative way. But there's been a big conversation. Is he going to get booed? And even Cal said, yeah, I know I'm going to get booed. Well, here is former Kentucky coach Rick Pitino begging Kentucky fans to cheer John Calipari.
Toughest day of my coaching career at Louisville was when I had to walk into Rupp Arena. Tried not to show it, but when I went home, the reception, it tore me up apart because I love that place so much. But this is different. And as you all know, I'm not best friends with John Calipari. I respect him, certainly. But it was a mutual thing. The fans wanted a change. John read the tea leaves. He needed a change. And he really didn't want to leave. But what did he do for you? He brought the best talent in the history of the game of any university in America to Lexington. He also won a national championship. He also was, his style of play was extremely entertaining. So he's coming back on Saturday, and I want all of you to show the great class that you have. 23,000 plus people giving him a huge standing ovation. Show him what respect and admiration's all about. I know you have the class. I've always believed in you. Do it once again.
That's almost Rick Pitino saying, I'm not asking you, I'm telling you. That's kind of the sense that I kind of got from that. But the fact that Rick Pitino needs to issue a statement to try to ensure that John Calipari gets cheered when returning to Lexington is just stupid to me. You know, maybe I'm going to miss the mark on this one. I would say out of 100%, I would say 90% of the people are going to be cheering tomorrow. I'm not saying they're going to be cheering when the game happens, but welcome back to Rupp Arena, John Calipari. I think there'll be more cheers. And like that, are you really going to boo the guy in a video? I'm assuming they're doing a video montage. You're really going to boo the guy in a video montage? This is not like LeBron James leaving the Cleveland Cavaliers for the Miami Heat, right? And doing so in a public way and embarrassing you like that. So I find it very hard to believe that Cal is going to get noticeable boos tomorrow. But maybe I'll end up being wrong. Also, I got to get to this jackass, and that's going to be me saying it in a nice way, this dopey UFC fighter, Bryce Mitchell. So he debuted his podcast, and whenever you're praising Adolf Hitler, you're a dummy. And I love these dopes, and that's me being kind, that go, oh, well, I did my own research, and it shows that Adolf Hitler did more good than bad. No, you're just an anti-Semitic dummy. And quite frankly, your brain should be examined, because that's how stupid you are. So that's what Bryce Mitchell said, who is an active UFC fighter. He went out of his way on a podcast, his podcast, to praise Adolf Hitler. So Dana White had to respond for this at one of those slap fighting or whatever, the slap league that Dana White does. And he knew he was going to get asked about this. So this was Dana White last night bringing it up himself about his dopey fighter, Bryce Mitchell.
I've heard a lot of dumb, ignorant in my day, but this one's probably the worst. When you talk about Hitler, he's responsible for the death of 6 million Jews, and he tried to completely eliminate a race of people. Hitler is one of the most disgusting and evil human beings to ever walk the face of the earth. And anyone that even tries to take an opposing position is a moron. That's the problem with the internet. You provide a platform for a lot of dumb, ignorant people. We've obviously reached out to Bryce and let him know how we feel about it. We're beyond disgusted.
Does Bryce Mitchell face a punishment from the UFC for saying
that's what everybody wants to hear about punishments? Free speech. I don't have to love it. You don't have to love it.
Is there a concern, though, right, if he goes out and wins a fight and gets a mic?
Well, that's the beautiful thing about this business. For all of you that hate Bryce Mitchell, you get to see him hopefully get his ass whooped on global television. You know where I am with free speech. We're disgusted by it. I think he's one of the dumbest human beings. Let's not forget that this is a guy who took a drill through his nutsack, then had to reverse it and put the drill back out of his... That's the level of stupid that we're talking about here. And I could probably go on for 10 minutes talking about how dumb Bryce Mitchell is.
I hope Dana White schedules someone up against Bryce Mitchell that beats the living snot out of him. Seriously. You're praising Adolf Hitler. That's where we are, folks, in the year of 2025. You have a dopey... I don't want to curse here. You have someone that is so dumb. There's dumb and then there's Bryce Mitchell, right? There's being an idiot and then there's being Bryce Mitchell. And this is just a note to everyone. If you're about to say something, or if you're about to tweet something, you're about to post something, and it crosses your mind, oh, I'm about to praise one of the most despicable human beings to ever walk the planet, in Adolf Hitler. Right? Like, you don't just say that out of nowhere. Bryce Mitchell did his research. So he thought about this. If somehow your brain is that messed up where you think, oh, I'm going to think about praising Adolf Hitler, do us a favor. Take a step back, sit down, and shut the bleep up. All right? It's that simple. Man, that is... I didn't even want to play the audio, Bryce Mitchell, because... we would all be losing brain cells as the audio would have been played. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Update time. Here is Marco Belletti. All righty. It's time to answer Ask the Pros question of the day. It's brought to you by Rally Auto Parts. And we have Jay in Philly who says, Zach, if you can't pick a quarterback or a wide receiver, tight end, or a running back. So I guess he's asking for a defensive player. Who would be your Super Bowl MVP? Okay. You could submit a question by tweeting at INFSportsNet or at Zach Gelb using the hashtag AskThePros. Think Rally Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at Rally Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. So if I had to pick a defensive player to win the Super Bowl, I think this is pretty easy, right? Eagles would be Jalen Carter. Chiefs, it would be Chris Jones. So yeah, Eagles, Jalen Carter. Chiefs, Chris Jones. That's how I would end up doing it. All righty, so Matthew Stafford, it appears that he's going to be back with the Rams next year. That's out of the way. Now it's just going to be what is going to be the contract. How do they figure out that salary and all that stuff into the Rams actually want him back? I would be surprised if the Rams say, hey, we're going to move on from Matthew Stafford. Because if so, what are you moving on him for, off of him for? You're not in position to go get your guy in the draft. And even so, wouldn't you want him there another year anyway to have that quarterback wait? And it's not as if there's a hot name out there on the market. Like Kirk Cousins, no. Sam Darnold, no. Russell Wilson, no. So you look at it, I kind of think that this is just going to be a formality. And you will see Russell. You will see Matthew Stafford, obviously, next year under center for the Rams, and they'll iron out the contract. But you look back at that trade. The Lions ended up giving up Matthew Stafford. And the Rams, Matthew Stafford ended up going to the Rams. And the Lions ended up getting Jared Goff, Jameson Williams, Jahmyr Gibbs, Sam Laporta, Josh Pascal, Broderick Martin, and Ifeatu Melifonwu. So you look at the talent the Lions got. You got a quarterback, a star running back, a star tight end, and a wide receiver, if he could just stop with all the off-the-field nonsense, is a heck of a player on the field in Jameson Williams. Like a solid wide receiver. But they didn't win the trade. And you want to know why they didn't win the trade? Because the Rams got a Super Bowl. Now, if the Lions got a Super Bowl this year or next year, the year after that, then yeah, it ages differently. Now, no one lost this trade. But in terms of who won it, I have to say that the Rams won it because they won a Super Bowl. Stuart Samter, would either of you end up disagreeing on that? Like, I don't think anyone lost this trade, but if I had to pick a winner, I would say the Rams ended up winning the trade.
You win a Super Bowl, you won the trade.
Yeah. Samter?
See, I disagree. I don't think the trade's over yet because there's still so much time left.
Right now, though.
I would still say the Lions because... the Rams were on the doorstep of winning a title. Stop laughing at me.
I can't take you seriously.
Nobody can see me right now,
folks,
so it doesn't matter.
Right now, I'm looking at Samter, and he has like the giant Chiefs hat on that we got from the Super Bowls last year. And because of the glare in the window and the shadow from that hat, right now I just see a blob. When I look at you, I just see your facial hair, and that's it. That's all I could see. So I'm trying to listen to your serious sports take right now, and I can't take you seriously because of that. So when there is a problem, who do we go to? 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. We go to Kent in Virginia. Kent, how are you, my pal?
Buddy, Kent in Virginia, Tex from Texas, Murph from L.A., like, it doesn't matter. I just miss my friends from the Zach Gelb Show. I'll go, and when I call in, it just comes up however God wants me to come across your screen, Zachary. How we doing, buddy?
I'm doing fantastic, Sully. And my buddy Jared, who is a big Eagles fan that you met the last time the Eagles were in the Super Bowl, I secured us two tickets, so we're going to the game, and he goes, is the great Sully joining us in New Orleans? Mm-hmm. And I go, well, as great as Sully is, unfortunately, he is not going to be there unless if he's doing like a sneak attack surprise and he's just going to show up on Bourbon Street.
Buddy, nothing would make me happier than to be flying to New Orleans to be part of all the love that goes around at the Infinity Network with you, with Samta, with the boys, and Maggie and Perloff in the morning with EJ. Like, it's a hard one. I'm going to be in St. Louis for the week.
Yeah.
But I will be with you guys in spirit.
That's good. And also, we're just going to use your name at every restaurant or any big-time celebrity that we meet because they somehow know you.
Well, two people you guys are having on next week that I love very much. One is on Monday and one is on Wednesday.
Well, I know one is Pac-Man Jones. I know Pac-Man Jones is supposed to come on, and I know you guys are very close. Who's the other?
Ryan.
Oh, Ryan Leaf. Yeah. No, yeah, and I've enjoyed Ryan's work a lot through the last few years. But, yeah, two great stories.
Two unbelievable stories, and I love what Ryan is doing with his platform. There's no one better at what he's doing than him. He was just at the Senior Bowl, and then, you know, my love for Pac-Man. And, look, a lot of the relationships I have, Zachary, are because of you, you know.
I think it's because of your charm.
Thank you, buddy. So, who are we? The engagement? No, you don't get engaged after a big event. No, you want to take that moment. Give the engagement its own day. Like, I got engaged on a Wednesday. Do you want to know why?
No, I have no clue. What, Pierre's had a deal on a Wednesday?
Because it was Wednesday. No, we weren't even in Vegas yet. Because it was a Wednesday.
Okay.
It was just another day.
Yeah, it's low key. You don't need to make it a bit. Like, it's a big event, but you don't need the whole world to see it.
No, just do it for you and your loved one. That's all that matters. Maybe have some friends. I don't know. But my thing for you, Zach, is who are we rooting for? I can't go chefs. I really can't. I love how much Eagle fans like have that weird, crazy, over-the-edge passion.
Yeah. As a Patriot fan, I'm rooting for the Eagles because I don't want to sit here. Nothing against Mahomes. I like Mahomes. Correct. But I don't want to have to sit here and just hear about how Mahomes is the greatest quarterback of all time yet.
Buddy, we all know that's not true. I hope you guys have an absolute blast in New Orleans. Please know that maybe we can FaceTime and have some fun, but I will miss you, buddy.
Yeah, we will miss you. And by the way, Kent in Virginia, a.k.a. Sully, I got to hit you up because I'm coming to Vegas in, I think, the first weekend of May for a bachelor party, so I need a big room at Piero's.
Buddy, I got you at Piero's. I got you another place, too, that I'm sure that you'll love for a bachelor party.
You got it. I know Sully's well-connected, so we will hit up Sully for that. You know, I remember one of those guys I sat next to at the Vegas Golden Knight games. He knows how to have a good time in Las Vegas. There's no doubt about that. The great Sully joining us on the show. Thanks so much. There he is, Sully. One of the best people. It's going to be weird doing a radio row without Sully. You know, it's the last three radio rows he's been there. I say this all the time. Sully goes, I hope I'm not infringing on what you guys try. I go, Sully, you attract people. I go, you are a phenomenal, like, radio producer just being here because all these random stars come up to you. You know, like, Sully just starts talking to Sully. Oh, I'm just talking to Gronk. Oh, I'm just talking to Pac-Man. Oh, I'm just talking to Justin Jeff, Max Crosby. And they hit it off. And it's like, oh, you got that person right by our set? So I think, I know it's not a money thing, but I almost said to Sully, I'm booking him a flight in his name just to make sure that he got out there to Las Vegas.
And you say he brings in a crowd. He brings in the right people.
And also,
right?
We eat such good food with Sully. Now, Perloff and EJ, they do a good job in the food department. There's no doubt about that. But when you have Sully with them as well, doing all the checks and balances, it reels, I think, Perloff and EJ in.
Yeah, no, I think that helps, but the laughs are always double when Sully's around, right? Like he's like the glue to the Infinity Sports Network crew.
Last year, I remember we were at a restaurant, and Samter just kept on changing his drink order. And then he got the drink, and he sent the drink back at Piero's. And then
it was a scotch. I just didn't like the scotch they gave me.
The whole night, like, you would think the joke is over, and Sully would just then, an hour and a half after it happened, just pounding down on Samter, which is joke after joke after joke.
A year later, I'm still getting it.
Yeah. All right. That will do it. It is the Zach Gelb Show. We'll talk to you Monday, everybody, in New Orleans, live from Radio Row. You know, outside of Pat McAfee, I'll make this claim. I don't think anyone does Radio Row better than me. I'll just say that. Just say that. So we will talk to you on Radio Row Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, right here on the Infinity Sports Network. Down on a Big Easy in New Orleans. Stu, thank you. Santa, thank you. Each and every one of you, thank you. Marco Belletti, we'll talk to you Monday, everybody. We out. Bye-bye. Peace.